That song is a challenge because it covers more than one generation. We can look back at faithful people in the past. Hebrews 12 and 1 tells us that we're compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. Faithful people who have made it in the past, and we've had several ourselves in the congregation here. But then the song adds another verse. When the folks that come behind me and you take a look at our lives, may they find us faithful. To be able to do that, we're all going to need the grace of God in our life. As they went through their battles with the grace of God and were victorious in the end, we can be also, and I'm thankful for that. What I have to share with you today, even when I tell you the title, you probably know where it came from. If I could put a title to this, it would be, "They Knew Not Till the Flood Came." All this started coming to me as we have been hearing news over the last week or so from Texas. You know, there's events in our life that if we could have just known, we would have diverted it. It could be a car accident. It could be anything. I think about Sister Maxine with the accident that killed her daughter. You know, if she could have only known this is going to happen, if you take 23rd Street or whatever, she would have said, "I'm going on 10th or I'm doing something different." Every one of us would have done something different if we could have avoided trouble. But we don't know it many times until it happens. So I would like for a little bit to share just some of the story, because there are spiritual lessons that we can get from temporal happenings. And I want to get a spiritual lesson from what we have learned this past week. We heard about it. And I try to just visualize in my mind, if I had July the 4th weekend coming up, and I love to go out camping by the river. You know, I've always in the past, we'd go down to Lake Arcadia. And if I could find a spot next to the water, it's always the first thing I would pick. You know, I'm not going to the lake because I want to be a mile back in the woods away from it. I want to be able to look out my window and see it. And many times that's what happens. And I look at this past weekend was nothing different for those people. We hear the story, and it mainly focuses around the one where the children were gone. But I said all along that river was good camping places where people were camped, just planning to enjoy a good weekend together. But here's something that I want to share with you from it. They called it Camp Mystic. And it said it was a youth camp for many years. Children had grown up going to this youth camp. And I heard a senator giving a little testimony himself. He said he had gone there when he was a child, and he had also gone again as a counselor after that. So it was something that, you know, to me, would make me think of Monarch. Something that we do. You know, we just all gather together. They said this year there was 750 people. You know, we just think about it being a couple cabins down by the river. This was a huge event like what we have at Monarch. 750 people there. You know, and this camp had been there for many years. It had rained many times in the past when they're having these camps. In fact, there had been some times where it even maybe flooded a little bit. Maybe the water got out a little bit and gets in a cabin or two. Inconvenient, but manageable. And you know what we can expect is when the weather reports start coming, you know, you really don't want to make a change if you're comfortable when it's raining. I have at my house what I consider a huge storm shelter, 16 foot long and 8 foot tall, underground. I would consider myself safe if I got under there. But you know, in the last time that they said there's a tornado headed for Guthrie, get to your safe place. If you don't have a storm shelter, get in a center closet somewhere. You know where I went? Center closet. Because if I go out there, I am going to get soaking wet, getting the door open and getting down inside it. So I don't go there. Why? If I knew it was going to hit my house, I wouldn't care. I'd go on and get wet and get inside to protect myself. But because in the past it's been a warning and it just moves on and it has never hit at my house, I just don't want to get wet, so I don't go. Well, I look at this. You know, these things had happened maybe many years. It could rain. It was hill country there. Water can come down and kind of flood things a little bit. And I was reading this. Said a city manager at 3 o'clock in the morning got up and he was jogging along the river and he was looking at the condition of it because it has been raining other places quite a bit. But it didn't seem to be any cause for alarm. There was no problem at that time. He said it was just starting to rain a little bit when he went back home that morning. And you know, I think of this, that catastrophe did not happen because of the amount of rainfall at the camp. That would have flown on, would have gone on down the river. It happened because on up the hill, quite a ways, there was something else happening. 16 inches of rain fell. It's hard to imagine what you would do with 16 inches of rain that might cover several miles. That's getting up pretty close to your knee in water that's going to have to flow somewhere. There's no problem at the camp. It's all good at the camp. It's somewhere else. And the updates that would come from the National Weather Service, you know, their first updates was, we expect heavy rain. I saw on my phone yesterday, they said, there's a flash flood warning for Guthrie. And I thought, wait a minute, they sure are nervous because they're posting it anywhere. Now there could be a flash flood. You know what I did yesterday? I took my granddaughters down to the sandbox that they have, and they have a little playhouse over the top of it, and it has a plywood floor on it, and it really started getting kind of dark, but I thought, this is going to, I even looked on my phone, it didn't show to be hardly anything, except saying there's flood watch. And so I tell them, hey, get up inside. They have a little place in there that's dry. Well, it started raining enough that I pulled me a chair up underneath by the sandbox, just thinking it's going to be a little bit. It'll be gone. It came a little flood. We had water running by us. The dogs climbed up under there with us to try to stay out of the rain. And I look at these. If I would have just known it's going to rain like that, I would have stayed inside where it was dry. And I think about with them the same. They did not see what was coming. You know, when a weather service says there's a flash flood, there's so much rain coming down at one time that that creek, that river, cannot handle it. You know, in flat country, that would really not be too much of a problem. It just keeps spreading out. But in hill country, you've got a trough that's coming down. They were saying there was 6 inches of rain per hour coming down, and it's got to go somewhere. I don't know how many of you have been at Guthrie, maybe Robert, in the past when we had the chapel over on the west side. There would be times of rain where the chapel would flood. And it had done it so many times that there was a little system set up. And if I'm not mistaken, it was maybe Brother Odney Davis. He lived a few miles upstream on the creek, Cottonwood. And they would go, their family had learned, if you go to this certain place and watch the water there, you're several miles away from Guthrie. It could be sunshine in Guthrie, but it's rained a lot over in Crescent and other places. They would go to this certain place by that creek. If the water level reaches this, it will flood the chapel. And there would be warnings coming out. You have time to be able to get the benches out if you can. Start working on it. It does not matter that the sun's shining. Get to work because it's coming to you. I don't know if you remember that, but there's a little piece in the Bible. Who hath believed the report? You know, it was a lot of work to get a bench out of the chapel and carry it someplace that will be dry just because somebody said, way up there, there's some water coming and it's liable to flood this. The last camp meeting that we had there, it was coming down while we were having the last services. And we went out, went home. The chapel flooded. It flooded so bad that those big oak benches that we didn't want to have to try to pick up, you could hurt yourself moving them, they floated in the chapel. There was so much water moving through the chapel that the back door broke down and the benches floated out and down the creek. And we never went back. We sold the place as is. If y'all want to go get those other benches, they're down there. We let it go as is. So I just look at this. And what I want to get from it is not so much just the weather reports or the things that happened to them, but to realize, you know what, there's a spiritual lesson for me to learn from this. There at that camp, it said just recently in an interview, they had just had an emergency plan that was approved by city officials. Here's what we would do if it starts to flood. Here's what we would do in this other kind of an emergency. And the officials had approved that plan. If it happens, here's what we will do. They had no way of knowing. They knew not until the flood came. And this one said, as those creeks flooded, they flowed into the river. In 45 minutes, the river rose 26 feet. That's more than this chapel by quite a ways. In just a few minutes, there it's too late now. Said that at this location, the river had a wall of water that was 20 foot tall, like a tsunami in the middle of Texas, that all these, maybe several creeks had flowed into one place, and as it did, there was no way to be able to handle it. There was no time for escape. It showed houses that had been washed off of their foundation and flowing down in this pile of water. And it wasn't just this one. You know, we just hear about this one mainly because there were a lot of children, some children lost. But all along that river was other campgrounds. You know, the best camping spot is get close to the water. Maybe even go early to sign up to be able to get it. And they said somebody reported there was a camper that's floating down in all this with children screaming in it. If they had only known, if something could have told them, hey, it's coming, it's going to be here. Why do we talk about all that? Because that's happened now in the past. There is a spiritual lesson for me to get, and I want to take a look at it for a few minutes. Over in Matthew 24 and 36. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Have you ever heard that the end is coming? Probably every one of us have. And how many times have we heard it? This one says, as the days of Noah were, in the 37th verse, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. You know, and maybe none of those were done in a sinful way. It's just the natural process of things because we expect things to continue. Giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I think of this story of Noah. If we would consider his life to be like a weather report, for over 100 years he was given a forecast. There's coming a flood. Call it a flash flood or whatever you want to be, there's coming a flood. Those folks had never even seen it rain, so it was hard to even imagine what a flood could be. But they watched that boat being put together for over 100 years. They watched it when it was completed and the animals started coming in. Not Noah out there chasing them around trying to get them, come on now, and it just went the other way. I believe they just filed into the ark under God's direction. And the people were able to watch that and still were not stirred by the report. There's a flood coming. And then somewhere in there it talks about there were 7 days. God told him, in 7 days, it is going to flood. And it says also somewhere in there that God shut the door. I wonder how many days was there after God shut the door that it seemed like nothing is going to happen. I don't know. It doesn't say. But I just think about, they saw the door shut and it wasn't raining yet. And it'd be so easy to think, now what's Noah going to do? I saw that door shut by itself. I wonder how he's going to ever get it open with all those animals on board. They knew not until the flood came. You know, it is so valuable for us to be stirred by the report that we have heard all our life. The end is coming. Want to be ready for the end. If those people at that camp, 750 people there, if they had only known this thing's coming, at least move, you know, all 750 weren't killed. Let's take these lower cabins, let's move them out of here because it could happen, even if it's pouring down rain. One of the reports said that during the night when it did start raining hard, one of the lower cabins, the children came to another cabin saying, let us in. Water is rising up in our cabin. And they were spared. Little did the others know, because you know what, I'd have done the same thing if I'd have been there. I love it, really, when it's pouring down rain and I've got all my tools picked up outside. I didn't leave my windows down in the car. I'm inside and it is dry. You know what? It can rain just as hard as it wants to rain. I'm comfortable. I'm not moving. And I think with those people, if they could have only known, and now I want us to think about if we had only known. Because we look at things like Matthew 24 and 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Know this, if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and he would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So I look at those. If they had only been able to take those flood warnings and realize this is going to be more than anything else that we've ever known as a flood, they would not have suffered their house to be broken up. And then what about me today as I hear that the end is coming? One thing I want to think about, it's so easy for me to put that in a category. That's talking about the end of all things. And we hear about it. I'd like to even look at how far back this was told about. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, tells us some things. First verse, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you. I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Want to get you to thinking about some things again. And today I want us to think again. The end is coming for me and for us all. I want to be ready. Because here's what can happen. Knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You know, I would never say that myself. But you know, in my mind, I can think about when I was a little boy, there were preachers telling me the end is very near. Better be ready. It could be this year. And now I'm 67 years old and it has not happened. And that's what they're saying is all things have continued as they were from the beginning of the creation. Fifth verse says, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. The world that then was being overflowed with water perished. And it lets us know that's not going to be what happens again. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Have you thought about that this week? Have you looked at your temporal things and the things that we're busy with and thought, you know what, one day this will all be burned up. How should I be handling my life today with the expectation that one day it's going to all burn? This says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, a thousand years as one day. If that's true, when Peter wrote this and sent out the warning, as far as God's concerned, only 2 days have passed since that warning was given. A day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. He's not concerned with time like we are. But it says, he's not slack concerning his promise, ninth verse, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to us, for not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then I want us to look at this verse. Tenth verse, the day of the Lord will come. It's coming. You know, that warning that came out last week, maybe it's Friday morning early, there's a flash flood warning. It came. As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, elements will melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And here's the call to me today. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In 1974, I remember in a camp meeting in Louisiana, a minister saying, I had this vision. He said, in my vision, there was like a cloud. And in that cloud, and it, you know, we can have things happen to us that you'd think, ooh, I wonder if this is the end. We can have a loud noise or something. In that, he saw, and in his mind, he thought, this could be the end. And then he saw writing go into the cloud, and it said, wait till 1975. That was the next year, or 74. What it was the next year. You know, that got me to thinking, wait a minute, that's just a few months around the corner that it could happen. Well, what do we do at times like that when 74 passes or 75, whatever it was, and life just continues on? And what have we had now 50 years since that? And the end still has not come. You know what I need to do? I need to live as if that report is going to come to pass today. Because, you know, today it does not matter to Sister Maxine that the end has not come yet. You remember there were times when she would talk to us to say, I would like to see the end of the Lord come soon, for the Lord to come again soon. You know what? The Lord has come for her, for Cheryl, for Sister Vicky. The end of all things will not matter to them when everything burns up. Their end has already come. So I look at this. How do I handle life today? There's a warning given to us, to me. And I want to remember this last week's reports of that in Texas. To just remember, you know, things have happened this way all along. And surely this one, I could even handle a little trouble with it. Should it flood a little bit, should there get a little water in the cabin, we'll be able to take care of it. Because that's what it did last year, and the last year we were able to do it. Not being able to realize what was out ahead. Here's a verse over in Luke. Because I want to walk careful before the Lord. Realizing the end of all things is coming. But you know, right now at 67 years old, that's not to be my biggest concern. Tomorrow, mine could be called. 21 and 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. You ever felt like life is just rolling so fast? I've got all these modern conveniences. I've got a microwave oven that'll cook my food in a minute. And yet things are just so fast. I can hardly get everything done in a day, it seems like. And this says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Have you ever had cares of this life just seem to go to spinning real fast? The things that I need to do today, and maybe I didn't even get the things done that I needed to yesterday. And here's what can happen. And so that day come upon you unaware. And then the 36th verse says, watch ye therefore, pray always that ye be accounted worthy to escape the things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, a lot of times these chapters were talking about the destruction of Jerusalem also. Be prepared, because it's coming to an end. But I think it can apply for us today. Watch. Pray always that ye be accounted worthy to escape those things that are going to come to pass and be able to stand before the Lord with peace. How do I live my life every day so that that day does not come on me unaware? Because we still have life to live. And then this little warning comes to me. Don't let your heart be overcharged. I was looking at the commentary on that. It said, take heed that you be not rendered secure by an improper use of lawful things. Do not make this earth your portion. Expect its disillusion and prepare to meet your God. Expect that all of the temporal things I'm doing right now will one day be burned up. Maybe in my lifetime or maybe in someone else's afterwards. How do I prepare? And like that National Weather Service, they issued some warnings. They said the flood can come. And I realized even with that warning yesterday, maybe the flood didn't affect me yesterday, but anybody in a low-lying area, as much as it rained yesterday, could have been a chance for a flood. There is a verse in Luke 12 that I need to always keep in front of me as I'm expecting one day my end will come or the end of all things will come. Luke 12 and 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. When I compare it to going out into eternity, my life does not consist. It's not. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And then we have that story of what is my Bible calls the rich fool. He said to his soul, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We've got things laid back for many years. You know what? That is a tendency that can attach itself to each one of us. Things have finally arranged themselves to where I can be comfortable now out ahead. And God said, thou fool, this night the flood's coming. And it's going to be a deluge and it's going to sweep you away. And it said, then whose is all these things going to be that you have spent so much time trying to build up? There is another warning for me. Over in 1 Corinthians 7 and 31. They that use this world, and you know what? Every one of us are using this world. We're out working in it. We get money from it. We buy things that we need and we want. And they that use this world as not abusing it. Not abusing it to the point that my heart becomes attached to it and it can affect me out in the future. For the fashion of this world passeth away. To remember, I'm using this world. I'm in the middle of it. I'm going to go to work tomorrow if the Lord will. But that I would not abuse those things or set my heart on them, but to realize that one day I'm going to be called out. It's real easy for me to forget the warning or to feel like, you know what, it's not going to be that bad for me. We get another warning over in Matthew 25 where it tells us about the 10 virgins. It says there were 5 wise, there were 5 foolish. And if we could think about it with this story of the weather service giving out the alerts, it's coming, but it hasn't arrived yet. In fact, maybe even the sun's shining, but I don't realize that the flood is still flowing my way. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And when the cry came, 5 of them trimmed their lamps and they had oil enough to get their lamps going again. But I think what would have happened had more time passed by while they slumbered and slept. Knowing that he's coming, but I don't know for sure when it'll be. I'm just reminded about Moses. When the Lord came to him and said, get ready to take the children of Israel out of Egypt. Here's the day that you take the lamb and you bring it up and you start feeding it. Here's the day that you kill the lamb. Here is the day that you put the blood on the doorpost. And do not go outside your house after that. And I think of that, I could be ready if the Lord told me, Dan, Friday you're going to be called out into eternity. Boy, I would be working on, I'd be checking everything. You know what I need to be doing? I need to be checking everything anyhow. Because none of us have, that came so quick, there was nothing anyone could do. So many people have passed so quick, there was no time to make a change. You know what? We think sometimes that an extended illness is bad. I want to tell you, an extended illness could be one of the greatest blessings God could give to us. I believe today, Sister Maxine would say, it was all well worth it. Because I watched Dad do an inventory as he came down and he knew I only have a few weeks left before I leave out of here. I would hear him in the morning time. I'd be staying at his trailer there. I would hear him moving about at 3 or 4 in the morning. And I'd go in there and, Dad, what's the matter? You're not feeling well? He said, I am just making sure. You know, we can say, as far as I know, everything's clear. You know what? I still want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I tell you what, if there's something you've shown me that I have forgotten, you just tell me, Lord, because I'm fixing to head out into eternity. Irma was with Sister Maxine right at the last, maybe a day before she passed. And as she was there with her, Sister Maxine said, I repent. Irma said, what do you feel like you need to repent for? She said, I'm just telling the Lord, Lord, if there is anything out there that I don't even know about, I want to tell you, Lord, I am sorry for that. Yeah. You know what? What a carefulness it wrought in us when we start realizing, you know what? My day is coming also. There is a song. I'd like for us to sing it. This song, number 502. The scripture says, this one says the Lord is coming. The scripture says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And this verse, here's a verse. Are you ready, waiting for the Lord? See the signs, proclaim him near. In the awful thunders of his word, now his coming steps we hear. How long ago was that song written? Maybe 130 years ago. And he wrote this song as if it could have happened tomorrow. You know what? What's my reaction to that? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued like they were. It's just probably not going to happen. The end of all things. And I can kind of think the same thing about my end as it's approaching. You know, the Lord came for D.S. Warner. The day of the Lord came for him. The day of the Lord came for Sister Maxine, for Cheryl, for Sister Vicky, and so many others. And the day of the Lord is coming for me. Jesus, right at the end of Revelations, said to somebody, he said it to John, surely I come quickly. And John did not say, wait, I know I have some things that I need to get ready to meet you. Instead, John's answer was, even so come, Lord Jesus. What I would like to do is live my life in that way, that I would be able, at the time that it's calling for me, should my end come quick or should I have many days to make sure I want to be ready. Watch, therefore, you don't know what day the Lord will come. And let's not look at, Peter said it 2,000 years ago, and it has not come. You know how many people the end has come for since then? Each generation that passed, that went out into eternity, the end came for them, just as real as if the end of all things had come. I want to walk with a carefulness. Do we have to walk in fear, afraid that I won't be ready? What I want to do is just take some inventory. Stop every once in a while and just think about what happened this last week. When there was no warning after the weather service had said it could flood. But I look around me and it does not seem like it's going to happen. But may I be stirred. I'm going to soon go out to meet the Lord myself. And I want to have everything ready. Maybe we could stand and sing that song.